As we continue to worship together this morning, hear these words from the letter of James, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes come into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please. While to the other one, to the poor one, you say, stand there, sit there at my feet. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved and brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he hath promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to this scripture. You will love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So by faith itself, if it has no works, it's dead.
Grace and peace to you all on this Lord's Day. I am grateful to be here with you once again, and I bring greetings from Asbury. We look forward to this opportunity each year to come and to worship with you. We have such deep roots. Our roots go beyond just being another Methodist congregation. We look forward to continued fellowship. We know that in a couple of weeks, I think, we will be doing a joint Bible study together on Howard Thurman, I believe, and look forward to that experience with you. I want to recognize Asbury's associate lay leader, and that is Sandy Adams. I think she went to the back, and she's also, her mom's also with her, Jeanette Butler Adams. So, again, thank you. Hear these words again from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us gathered here, and fall afresh upon me, your servant. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, for you are my strength and redeemer. Amen. One of the most memorable commercials that is now a classic featured a little, tiny little white-headed lady named Clara Peller. Remember her? That was a Wendy's commercial. And the little old lady and her friends would go into a competitor's restaurant, order a hamburger, and when the order came, she would take off the bun and ask, "Where's the beef?" The strategy behind the commercial was to distinguish Wendy's from its competitors, McDonald's and Burger King, by focusing on their large buns and small burgers as compared to Wendy's burger that had much more beef. Okay. Well, since then, "Where's the beef?" has become a staple phrase questioning the authenticity and substance of an idea, a product, or an event. When it comes to our faith in this passage before us, James is asking, "Where's the beef?" He says, "Faith without works is dead." Well, what does James really mean by that? Didn't Paul say that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone? Yeah, he said that. But faith is more than believing. Belief in God must move from intellectual assent, that is, agreement that it is true, to commitment of oneself to that belief. It is possible to believe in God as a concept and yet live as if one has no faith. Dead faith is equivalent to the person who hears the word but does not put it into practice. Twice as many Americans claim to be members of churches and synagogues than who in reality actually participate in the life of the churches or synagogues. Dr. Charles Allen, a retired United Methodist preacher from Houston, Texas, shared this tongue-in-cheek description of the church. 10% of the members cannot be found. 20% never attend. 25% never pray. 35% never read the Bible. 40% never give financially to the church. 70% never attend Sunday evening service. 75% never assume any church task. 85% never invite anyone to church. 95% never win a soul to Jesus. 100% expect to go to heaven. Talking about being transformed by Christ and looking like a transformed person are two different realities. And so James writes to share that an authentic faith confession results in observable commitments. Faith without works is dead. By this, James means to say faith is not just between you and God, but also between you and your neighbor. In other words, not only is there personal holiness, there's also social holiness. Faith is evidenced in both our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with others. But some Christians behave as if faith means nothing more than private, personal, individual views. Even the commitment to gather with others to worship God regularly seems unnecessary to some. James would wonder if faith without community can survive. Faith, real faith, is lived out in community. Dr. Peter Gomes, a former minister of Memorial Church at Harvard University, told a story of Ernest Gordon, the former dean of the chapel at Princeton, who was captured on the River Kwai during World War II. While in prison camp, Ernest Gordon and his fellow British captives were initially very religious, reading Bibles, praying, singing, expecting God would reward them and fortify them for their faith by freeing them, or at least mitigating their captivity. And when the men did not receive the expected answer to their prayers, they became angry and disillusioned. They abandoned much of their pious zeal and outward display of worship. But they didn't lose, what they didn't lose was an interest in caring for one another. And as their attention turned to each other's needs, they began to find their faith strengthened and renewed. Their religious practice focused more on what they were doing for others rather than reciting what they believed. Their compassion for each other, their community brought renewed inner strength and faith. What do we Christians do to counter our troubled times? What is a faithful response to the bigotry and racism that is turning out to be more than just political rhetoric? What is a faithful response to such issues as the treatment of immigrants and undocumented persons and persons seeking asylum? Is it enough to believe that God is in control and will fix it? No. Faith without works is dead. We are to be vigilant, visible witnesses to Jesus' reign. In order to do this, we must be willing to be human in an environment of vulnerability. We must be willing to understand that when we are in relationships with others, our humanity is bound up in the other's humanity. We are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. Faith is lived out in community. Faith without works is dead. By this, James means to say faith is love in action. There's a saying with which we're all quite familiar: actions speak louder than words. That is the message of James. It's not enough to hear or believe the word. You have to do something with it. James urges us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Doers are keepers of the word. Doers perform. Doers make something happen. Actions speak louder than words. Now, your spouse or your significant other can tell you, "I love you," until the sun goes down. But if he or she forgets your birthday or anniversary, if you're not surprised with some roses or chocolate or a favorite meal every now and then, if all of their time and attention and effort is devoted to their job or friends or hobbies, if when you need them the most they are not around, then all of those "I love yous" don't mean a thing, do they? Hearers talk about their faith, but doers live out their faith. Actions speak louder than words. So what would it look like if every member of this congregation saw himself or herself as an ambassador for Christ? What if every person here understood their daily work in the classroom or the boardroom, in the office or the checkout line, in the home or on the highway as ministry in the name of Christ. What if, instead of having to recruit or convince people to serve, every member was lined up to serve, to work with Great Day of Service, or Sacred Resistance, to feed the hungry and homeless in Washington, D.C., to be engaged in advocacy for inclusion, to visit the sick and shut-in, to lead a small group or teach Sunday school. Now, we can talk about discipleship, but the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So what passion is burning in your spirit today? What vision has God planted there? Where are you hearing or seeing the move of God? Where have you been called to serve at Foundry? Do it. We can talk about fellowship, but the greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just do it. We can talk about stewardship, but you bring all of your full tithes into the storehouse and then see that there is more than enough for ministry. Do it. We can talk about membership, but you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of our Creator, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Do it. Actions speak louder than words. We can talk about our faith, but the real challenge for us as Christians is moving from being hearers of the word to doers of the word. So where's your beef? Where's the beef? Will good intentions do it? No. Will sheer willpower do it? No. Will all of our good, with all of our good intentions, and we can have those, but good intentions do not necessarily make things happen. We can make a commitment and strive to keep it, but know that where our human effort fails, God working in us and through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to accomplish all that God would have us to do. During the years of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln didn't go to church regularly on Sunday because his presence was disruptive. However, he often went to the Wednesday evening service at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. He usually sat in the pastor's study with the door open so that he could hear the service in relative seclusion. On one such night, he brought a White House aide with him. And walking home, the aide asked the president how he liked the sermon. Lincoln's reply was this: it was well thought through, powerfully delivered, and very eloquent. Oh, continued the aide, you thought it was a great sermon? No, the president said, it failed. It failed because Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do something great. Friends, as I stand here today, I do not want to fail you. Life is too precious. Life is too short. And so I leave you with this challenge. Do something great with your faith this week. Amen. Amen. Amen.